Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes.
So this is where we're heading is, since the start of the class, okay, good. So this is where we're at. We started at the very beginning of the class about 8 weeks ago. And just refreshing your memory, we have to know why we're here. What is the purpose of our life? And it's pretty simple. We're here to know God, to love God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. So I'll repeat, we're here in this world, short time, to get to know God, love God, serve God, and by means of that, to get to heaven. Okay, so we've been talking about God. We're talking about God. And the first class we had after that, we talked about the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith is the Trinity. Remember what that is? What is it? Okay, good. So we believe that there is one God and how many persons, David?
Three.
Who's the first?
Father.
Second?
Son.
Third?
Holy Spirit.
Fourth?
Me.
Okay, there is not a fourth, okay? It's only three persons, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has how many natures?
Two.
And they are? So the human and the divine, right? Human means that he is man, but also divine means that he's God. Okay, then we talked about the private life of Christ, right?
Remember?
Okay, so he was born in the city of Bethlehem, right? And Bethlehem means house of bread, okay? Name of his mother, of course, would be Mary. And the name of his father would be St. Joseph. St. Joseph, his work, his office was that of a carpenter, right? Okay. So he lived in that private life for about 30 years. And then we move from there to the public life of Christ, which lasted right about 3 years, right? And what were the three activities that he carried out in his public life? We mentioned the three things, the activities he carried out in his public life.
Miracles.
Okay, miracles. Can you mention a miracle?
Probably not, but he can walk on water.
Okay, another thing?
Exorcism,
which means he cast out, devils, right? What was the other thing he did?
Preaching,
good. So preaching, exercising, and doing miracles. Okay, so that was his public life. And he chose, at the very end of that class, we mentioned, he chose some friends to follow him. And those friends were called the
apostles.
How many apostles were there?
12.
12. Okay. Can you name the 12?
John.
Okay, yeah, that's one of 12, right?
Michael.
Nope, that's the archangel.
Luke.
No, that's one of the disciples. So is Peter, James, John, Philip, James the Less, Bartholomew and Nathaniel, Simon the Zealot, Thomas the Doubter, right? And then we also had Jude and Judas, who was the one that betrayed him and he ended up hanging himself, right? So those are the 12 apostles that Jesus chose. Okay, now this class we're going to be, we're building, it's like we're building a skyscraper. We're building a very tall building. So this class we're going to try to speak about how we can become friends with Christ. Can you give me the three characteristic notes of a truly good friend? Talk with them, that's pretty good. What else?
Loyal.
What else?
Respect.
Okay, so respect. Okay, you communication, loyalty, and respect. Those are three pretty good qualities, no? Now, your best friend has to be Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to mention your three best friends. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You know, one of the prayers I say almost every night before I go to bed is, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, make my heart like unto thine. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I breathe forth my soul unto thee. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. I say that prayer almost every night. You like it? It's a nice prayer, isn't it? So I try to end my day by talking to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So we want to really get to know Christ. So the lesson that I wrote for you guys, I wrote it about a year and a half ago. These are lessons that yours truly wrote. I was able to put together what are called titles for Jesus. And by titles, I mean this, different aspects of the richness of who Christ is. So I could say that, David, you are a son, you are a brother, you are a nephew, you are a grandson, okay? You're a Christian, you're a Catholic, you're a student, you're an athlete, you're a baseball player, that's your one of your sports, right? Okay. So I mentioned 10 things about the same person, right? Each one is, and probably I could say the same thing of most of you. So 10 different attributes. You might even call it a musician, okay? If you like music, like maybe your father, okay? You're a musician. These are different attributes or characteristics. Now, with respect to Jesus, there are many, many titles. And most of these titles actually come from the Bible. Before reading it, could you mention a title for Christ, for Jesus?
Savior,
good.
Son of Mary.
That's a good one.
Oh, I got another one. Bread of Life.
Oh, you're already looking at it, right? Okay, hey, that's cheating. No, you gotta. I didn't want you to look at that. Okay, you're going through it quickly, huh? Okay, so. Okay, little peek, okay? Little peek. Okay, so let's go into our class now. One of the first things we do in getting to know some. But he's asking, what is your name? Often for the Jews, the time of Jesus, the name of the person would point to who he was and his purpose in life. In this lesson, we will give several names for Jesus. But the first and most used is the name Jesus. Where did this name come from? Good question. The response is that God sent the archangel Gabriel to visit the Blessed Virgin Mary in the mystery of the Annunciation. An angel is a messenger sent by God. The purpose of this message was to ask Mary if you would be willing to be the mother of God. The archangel Gabriel said that the name of the child would be Jesus because he would save the people from their sins. All of this can be found in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Mary said yes to the Archangel Gabriel with these words, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word." The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Jesus came down from heaven and entered into Mary. The name of Jesus points to the reason for his coming, the purpose of his life on earth, the reason and means that we can get to heaven. And the name of Jesus means Savior. Jesus came to save us from sin, the devil, sadness, and depression, and ultimately damnation or hell. Okay, so we're going to be moving to number one. Okay, number one, blank, the name that was given to him by the Archangel Gabriel in the Annunciation. That, of course, is Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Jesus came to save you from what? From sin, from death, from sadness, from depression, the devil, and eternal death, that is hell. We were talking about exorcism about 2 minutes ago. You know when they do an exorcism? They invoke names. The first name that they invoke is the name of Jesus. I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of this person. Then the name of Mary. Then the name of St. Joseph. Then the name of St. Michael the Archangel. Then the name of St. Benedict. Those names are really powerful. So when you're tempted by the devil, we're all tempted, you should call upon the name of Jesus. Because we're all tempted, yes.
How do you get,
in other words, how does one become possessed? Yes, there's a really good book on this topic written by Gabriel D'Amorth, and he speaks about the different ways in which the devil attacks us. Do you know them? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Okay, the first would be temptation. Then when there's what is called temptation, there's oppression. Then there's obsession. Then there's vexation. Then there's infestation. And then there's possession. So there's six different ways the devil tempts you. Like a temptation would be this. You have a bad thought that crosses your mind, like an ugly thought. Usually that comes from the devil. Oppression means you feel depressed. Get up, you feel kind of depressed during the day. The devil wants you to feel sad and depressed. Sometimes you don't even know why you feel. It kind of weighs you down. Then, do you know what obsession means?
You're obsessed with something.
You got a fixed idea that you really can't seem to expel from your mind. You get up in the morning, you're angry at someone the whole day. It's probably happened. Maybe someone hurt you a year ago and you're angry at that person the whole day. And that person is maybe even in a different state. Do you know what vexation is? Did you see, any of you see the film of Padre Pio? The movie of Padre Pio? Do you remember that the devil was actually beating up Padre Pio? Remember that? You'd be in the room there and you hear this commotion and the chair falling over and you hear kind of some noise, and so the devil kind of beat up Padre Pio. Didn't kill him though. That's called vexation. Do you know what infestation is? Do you ever hear of the haunted house? Do you ever hear of a haunted house? Haunted house could be this. Say, for example, you move into a house, and before they practice, and spend la brujería, witchcraft, and maybe some la brujería, witchcraft, no? Or maybe someone, there was suicide there, maybe a teenager killed himself. So you got the bad spirit in the house. So the house has to be exorcised from the bad spirit. That's why you always want to invite a priest to come in if you move into another house, because you don't know what happened in the house before you. So that's called infestation. You call it the haunted house. And then you have what is called the possession. Now the book, that book on exorcism, mentions three reasons why one can become possessed. Are you listening?
Yes.
One is if you start to play around with witchcraft. Did you ever hear the Ouija board?
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. You might think that that's something just like a game. You're playing with fire, my friend. In the first film, The Exorcist, maybe you saw the first film, The Exorcist. Any of you see the film, The Exorcist?
No.
Okay, it was the first one? It's kind of scary, right? Remember the girl started by playing around on that board there, and it moved back and forth. Then all of a sudden, the girl acted really weird. They had to bring in two exorcists. One was a young priest who was actually a boxer before Father Rocky, and the older guy. And they had to do an exorcism. Because if you're playing around with the Ouija board, or you go to the psychic reader, or you're getting involved in magic or black magic, you're opening up your heart to the devil. Now, some of you like music. Some of the musicians, maybe not exposed to classical American rock and roll music. You've probably heard of it, no? But you ever hear the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones is about one of the most famous rock and roll groups, and they're still together with Mick Jagger and company. They sang a song, "Sympathy for the Devil." Did you ever hear that? Back in the 60s, probably about 1965, 66, "Sympathy for the Devil." There's another group called KISS, K-I-S-S. You know what that means? Knights in Satan's Service. Yeah. K-I-S. It sounds like besito, oh, que bonito, que besito, no? But Knights in Satan's Service, no? So there are a lot of avenues by which the devil can get in. Another way is this. It's going to scare you a little bit. No, I won't tell you because you...
No, just tell me. You already got me.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is Gabrielle DeMora says, when parents curse their children. Yep. You hear me? I mean, it's sad to say that. When parents curse their children, that's a avenue by which the devil can get into you. And that doesn't happen always. But if your parents only get angry, you know, if they're cursing, say, hey, hold it. Try to air out in another way, no? And the third could be a trial from God. God can actually allow someone to be possessed even though he's not a bad person. There's a film that came out of The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Remember that came out about 10 years ago? It was this girl, teenage girl, became possessed. She was a good girl, but she became a victim soul. So she purposely wanted to suffer for the sake of others. So those are three principal means by which the devil can get in. What do you think is more powerful? An exorcism or confession?
An exorcism.
Confession is much more powerful. Yeah? And you don't see anything in confession because everything is invisible. But technically, A really good confession is much more powerful over the devil than an exorcism. So that's what I was telling some of your parents about 20 minutes ago. Try to bring your teenagers to go to confession as often as possible. If I were your parent, I would bring you to confession every week. I know you didn't want to hear that, no, but I would. I mean, you go once a week, you just a quick 4 or 5 minute confession, and you really feel good, you feel at peace, you're cleansing your soul. And confession serves as what is called preventive medicine and curative. You guys ever get I'll give you an example. You ever get a flu shot?
No.
Yeah, you guys, now's the time to get a flu shot. Okay, well, if you get a flu shot now, it's a good way. You ever have your immune system?
Yeah.
Your immune system kicks in, and that will help you to get the cold and the sneezing and the runny nose and the sore throat. So that's good. That's called preventive medicine. So confession is like preventive medicine or curative medicine, both. Can prevent a sickness, but it can cure it also. Okay, so there we have that. So the first is Jesus. Then we're going to move into the second. The second is, okay, Good Shepherd, John chapter 10. Why is Jesus the Good Shepherd? A good shepherd knows his sheep, protects his sheep, defends his sheep, loves his sheep, and is even willing to die for his sheep. As our good shepherd, Jesus did all of the above for you. He gave you life and knows you by name, defends you and protects you from many wolves, feeds you, brings you back to the fold, loves you, and is even willing to die for you. How much Jesus really loves you. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. What are the modern wolves that try to get after us? The modern wolves. What are the modern wolves? We mentioned about 6 of them. Could it be drugs? Maybe pornography? Maybe gang activity? These are all the modern wolves that are going after us.
Abortion,
those are the modern wolves that are going after us. So we have to stay close to the Good Shepherd. Can you be a good shepherd?
Yes. No, actually.
How could you be a good shepherd? Do you have any younger brothers or sisters?
Yes.
So if you have a younger brother or sister, you can be a good shepherd to your younger siblings. Or maybe someone at school is really struggling with some issue. You can help them out. You can be a good shepherd to that kid that's kind of struggling maybe with math or whatever it might be. Okay? Or maybe he's struggling with depression. So we're all called to be good shepherds. No? But the key for us to be a good shepherd, we have to first be a good sheep to the good shepherd. Got that? You hear that? For us to be a good shepherd, first we have to be a good sheep to the good shepherd, so we can be a good shepherd to our sheep. You got that? Could you say that quickly? I said it pretty quickly, didn't I? I'll say it again. For you to be a good shepherd to your sheep, you have to be a good sheep to the good shepherd. Now can you say it?
Uh-oh.
It's a tough one. Anyone? Huh? Go ahead. Got it backwards. Anyone? Okay, let's see if you can say it. For you to be a good shepherd to your sheep, you have to be a good sheep of the good shepherd. Still can't say it? You want to try?
Okay.
Go ahead. Got it.
That's right.
Got it. Got it. It's kind of a tough one. Kind of one of those trabalenguas, no? One of the tongue tires. Okay, let's move on. Master, teacher. St. Augustine says that a good teacher loves what he teaches and loves those he teaches, students. By far, Jesus was and always will be the best of teachers. How does Jesus teach us? Primarily, he teaches us through the Bible, which is the Word of God, most specifically through the Gospels, meaning the Good News. So it is very good activity to read at least for a few minutes the Gospel every day so that we can get to know, love, and follow Jesus more closely. Okay, now I want you to tell me the Gospels. You got it. How many chapters in Matthew? 28. How many in Mark?
Another 28.
16. How many in Luke, you know, right? 24. How many in John? 21. So those are the Gospels. Do you ever notice in Mass on Sunday when we read the Gospel, the priest says, "The Lord be with you." What do you say? Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, what do you guys do? Glory to you, Lord. What do? With your thumb. You go like this, right? And then you go like this. Why do you do that? And if we don't know these gestures, it's turned into superstition. We should know why we're doing those. Why do we go like this?
To get the sign of the Lord on our
mind. What? We want the Word of God to be here. We want the Word of God to go up in our mind. How about here? To be able to speak it. How about here? So we want it in our minds, our lips, and in our heart. We want to know the Word of God. We want to be able to preach the Word of God. We want to love the Word of God. Got that? The next time you do that gesture, you've probably already done it at least 500 times in your life. But you never stop to ask yourself, why do we do that? We want the Word of God here. We want it in our lips. We want it in our heart. We want to live it too, right? Okay, good. So Jesus is our master and our teacher. Can you tell me any word of Jesus in the Gospel? Anything he said of those four Gospels? You know? Okay, there's the Our Father. That's good. How about this side, the side of the peanut gallery? You're pretty quiet on this side. Nope. Okay, John chapter 6, he says this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, died, but whoever eats the bread that I will give, he will have eternal life." How about that? Memory. How about John chapter 10? "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Not like the marauder. When he comes, he takes off and leaves the sheep so that they be devoured by the wolf. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I'm willing to die for my sheep." John chapter 10. How about that? You see, got memorized. Maybe one day you'll be able to do that, okay? So though, it's a good idea to try to read and memorize the Word of God. The other day I went bowling with Father Craig. We go bowling on Mondays. No? Guess who won? I won. Yep. I won. Okay. He's really doing well. He's developing a curve, but I usually won. I double lettered when I was in high school. Know what it means? So letter? No. Letter means if you're on varsity, double lettered in baseball and bowling. And after we were bowling, this guy came up to us and he started to quote the biblical passages to us by memory. And I said, "Father Craig, this guy's pretty good, no?" And he was a born-again Christian, no? I said, "Father Craig, we have to try to memorize the Bible a little bit more." What happens is the born-again Christians, sometimes they memorize the Bible better than us. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Or the Mormons. You know, they knock on the door, they got their Bible there, they're quoting it. And we're kind of going like this. So we should learn the Bible more, shouldn't we? And be able to defend the Word of God, defend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's move on. Ready? Okay, next is bread of life. That is where? Where do you find the Bread of Life discourse? Look in parentheses. John chapter 6. That's where we find the Bread of Life. We have both body and soul, and we must nourish both of them. We want to be healthy in both body and soul. Our body is very important because through baptism, it becomes the temple of God. However, our soul is more important and is destined to go to heaven forever. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life. Now I'll raise him up on the last day. Jesus, grant me hunger and thirst for you. I'd like to test your vocabulary. Do you know what anorexia is? You guys ever hear of what anorexia? Never heard the word anorexia?
No.
Anorexia, usually teenage girls have it where they start to eat less and less and less, and they really get skinny. And then, you ever hear that? And then eventually they get so skinny that their stomach shrinks and they can't eat any more solid food. Then they have to be fed intravenously and then they die. So there are actually girls that actually die of anorexia. And talking about music, one of the most famous musicians in the 70s, her name was Karen Carpenter. Remember her? Karen Carpenter, very, very good voice, no? And one, I think probably the most beautiful female voice in the 70s, no? And she actually died of anorexia. She got thinner and thinner, and then her stomach shrunk, and then she couldn't eat anymore, and then she died. What do you think? Can you tell me what is spiritual anorexia?
The spirit that's gone.
David, what are you going to say?
You don't eat the communion.
Okay, you don't receive Holy Communion, then spiritually we become very, very weak. We can die. So there's a parallel there between physical anorexia, not eating, and spiritually not receiving Holy Communion. How often can you receive Holy Communion, do you know?
Every day.
Every day? Just once a week?
Twice a day.
You can actually receive twice a day. If you go to Mass in the morning, afternoon, you'll participate in 2 full Masses, and you can actually receive Communion twice a day. Okay. Okay, number 5. Holy Communion. Related to the precious title for Jesus, Bread of Life, is Holy Communion. Actually, the two words are closely related. Holy Communion is really Jesus who said he is the bread of life. Holy means it is sacred, sublime, majestic, and great. Communion means union with. Therefore, put together Holy Communion means that Jesus wants to come into you, be united with you, to make you holy, pure, noble, strong, humble, son and servant of God. Do you ever hear that expression, you become what you eat? You ever hear that one, you become what you eat? So if you have really bad eating habits, that could really damage your health, right? That could really damage your health if you have really bad eating habits. No? What about good spiritual eating habits?
Your spirit gets bigger.
Holy Communion, right? You receive Holy Communion often. That's a good spiritual program, isn't it? To keep our soul really strong, huh? Holy Communion. Can you receive communion if you commit a mortal sin? So you commit a mortal sin, for example, because of pure laziness. You miss Mass on Sunday. Then you go up and receive Holy Communion. What's going to happen to you? Well, you made a sacrilegious communion. You were eating and drinking to your own condemnation. So you commit a mortal sin. You got to make sure you go to confession before. Is that clear?
Yes.
No, hopefully you don't commit a mortal sin, but if you... I'm not going to go to Mass on Sunday. I just want to sleep in. I want to go to the park with my friends. I want to go to Domino's Pizza and just kind of live it up. And you don't go to Mass. That's a mortal sin. So you got to go to confession first. Yeah.
Do
Say for example you miss Mass because you're sick, no, or you have a younger brother that's really sick, but because of pure laziness, that's a mortal sin. Did you know that? Yeah, that's a mortal sin. It's a very serious sin. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What if you're like nowhere around the church?
No, you're not near a church?
Yeah.
Like in Mexico, maybe?
No.
Okay. Okay. That probably wouldn't be mortal sin because you can't make it, right? Because you like to, but you have no transportation. You only have a bike. It's 10 miles away. Ricky?
What if you're Catholic, but you go to a Christian church?
Oh. What do you think about that, Umberto? Is that good to go to Christian churches if you're a Catholic?
No.
No, if you're Catholic, you should go to a Catholic Mass. Do you know the difference between a Protestant church and a Catholic church? Any of you know the difference?
Yeah.
Okay, what they do is they once a month they have what's called a communion service, and what they do is they give out like crackers, and they might give out like grape juice or maybe some wine, but that's just a symbol. You know the difference between symbol and reality? Symbol would be this: if I take a picture of you and I put you on Facebook. Okay, that's a symbolic depiction of David, okay? Or Josue, okay? That's not the real thing, though. So they just have what's called a symbol. We have the reality. So you have to go to the Catholic Church. Okay? You have to go to the Catholic Church. And usually what they have is they just have the reading of the Bible. The pastor gives maybe a half-hour homily. Then they sing some songs, and then they have fellowship afterward. No? So the center of our church is Holy Communion. Are you going to say something? Something, you know, they sing a lot, and the pastor can be a really good preacher, but they don't have Holy Communion. Only if you're a priest can you have Holy Communion.
Do you know anybody that used to be Christian?
Anyone that used to be Christian? They were converted to Catholicism? Yeah, there's a lot. I'll give you an example. My sister-in-law, when she got married to my brother, there are nine of us, it's number seven in the family, she was an Episcopalian. And you know what Episcopalian? It's a Protestant. So before they got married, I thought that I would talk to her. Father Broom, who's a theologian, he knows the Bible. I thought, I'm going to be able to convince this girl to become a Catholic. So I was quoting John chapter 6. And he said, Rachel, do you believe Holy Communion is really Jesus? She said, no, I believe it's a symbol. So I backed off. And then what happened was they gave her the books of Scott Hahn, some of the really good books on Catholicism, and we prayed for her. Then one day, about 2 years later, she said, I really believe Holy Communion is the body and blood of Christ. She went to a nearby church there in New Hampshire. She made her first communion and confirmation. Now they got four kids and they're all being raised as Catholics. Great story, huh? But it took a long time. I thought I'd be able to convince her, but she said, no, I just believe. It's just a symbol. So once I heard that, I really believe she doesn't have faith yet, so I'll pray for her, we'll give her some good books to read, maybe some good tapes to listen to, and she's an intellectual, so if you give her good books, she'll just be devouring the books, and one day she's reading Scott Hahn, The Supper of the Lamb, or Scott Hahn compares the book of the Apocalypse to the Mass, and she said, I really believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and Scott Hahn said, commenting on John chapter 6, he who does not eat my body and drink my blood will not have everlasting life. That really touched her. So she really came to the conclusion if she wanted to get to heaven, then she had to receive Holy Communion. And now she's been a Catholic for about 10 years. She's got four kids. She's got one of her kids is about your age, and they're all practicing Catholics. Thanks be to God. So that's called converts, no? Joshua, our number six?
Yes.
Emmanuel. This name, Emmanuel, we read often in the Advent season as we get ready for Christmas, which is the birthday of Jesus. It actually has a most consoling interpretation in meaning God with us. Jesus is the Son of God made man, but He wants to be with you always. He is your friend, guide, and companion on the highway of life. We should often say the short prayer, Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Let's say that. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Let's say it again. So Jesus wants to be with you all the days, hours, minutes, seconds of your life, all the way to heaven. Invite Him in your life. Number seven, best friend. Okay, said at the Last Supper with the apostles, He called them His friends. We all need to have friends. We must pick really good ones. Jesus was, is, and always will be our best friend. A true friend really cares what is best for his friend. In a word, he loves his friend. St. Thomas Aquinas defines love as willing the good of the other. Our greatest good is to get to heaven. If Jesus is your best friend in this life, then He'll be your best friend in heaven. Learn to stop to talk to Jesus, your best friend, often as you feel inspired. So every night before you go to bed, maybe spend 3 to 5 minutes talking to Jesus. Good way to do it is just to rewind the film of your day, what happened during the day, and kind of walk through it and talk with Jesus with what happened during the course of the day. That's called a daily examine. Rewind the film and go through it and thank Jesus for the many good things that you received. Tell Him things that are maybe on your mind. Maybe tell Him some of your sufferings. Maybe tell Him some of your doubts. Maybe tell Him some of your fears or anxieties or stresses. Talk to Him. Do all of you have a nice picture of Jesus in your room? You all have a nice big picture of Jesus in your room. And for example, here we have one. Jesus is the Divine Mercy. Right there in the back we see, you see that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Right there on the left, to my left, is Jesus with the children. Right here we have another one of Jesus with a little child, because this room is often used for catechism for the little kids that are 7 or 8 years old. Which of the images of Jesus do you like best?
That one.
That's a nice one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like this one?
I do.
Okay, kind of? Okay. Okay. I think we all have our favorite. I like to see Jesus on the cross, too, because it makes me think how much He really loves me that He suffered on the cross. It's a good idea to have a nice picture right over your bed, and before you go to bed, just look at it and talk to Him in your own words. Talk to Him as your best friend. Even if it's 2 or 3 minutes every night, so I do that before I go to bed. Okay? Not going to take a long time. Okay, number 8. Healer or divine physician. Matthew chapter 8 and 9. Another wonderful title that we can give Jesus is that of divine physician. You ever hear the word physician? What does that mean, physician? He's like a doctor, right? Okay. What does it mean? Very simply, we all get sick in body as well as in soul. Soul sickness, we call that sin. Soul sickness, a sin. Good news. There is a doctor in the house. There is a doctor in the house. And that doctor is Jesus, who came to heal the wounded and the brokenhearted, the broken humanity. And we all are part of it. We should often say, Jesus, heal me. Let's say that prayer 3 times. Say it.
Jesus, heal me.
Again.
Jesus, heal me.
Once again.
Jesus, heal me.
Okay. And one of the best ways to be healed is through the sacrament of confession. So confession is a sacrament of healing. Okay, number 9. Jesus is my rock. What? My rock and foundation. Many young people today, and adults too, build their spiritual lives on sand. We all know that a house built on sand will crumble, collapse, and disintegrate. Let us have as our point of reference, our compass, our solid rock foundation, Jesus the Lord. Jesus will always be faithful to us in good times and in bad. In sunny times and when the storms batter against our boat. If Jesus is our solid rock, we will be saved. Finally, number 10. Jesus is the Son of Mary. Okay, to really get to know and love Jesus, we must get to know and love His mother Mary. Good news. You have two mothers. Your earthly mother that gave you physical life, but also your spiritual mother. That wonderful spiritual mother is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Get to know Mary. Love Mary. Give yourself to Mary. If done, you will really get to know and love Jesus all the more. If you like, Mary is the shortcut to Jesus. Amen. So let's close by saying a prayer to Mary. So Mary will help us to really grow deeper and deeper and deeper every day in our friendship to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, roll call.
Has laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.